All right. So we are now being recorded. For our discussion last month, I'm assuming Sandy is not on the line.
No.
Okay.
She's got a lot going on.
Okay. In which case, we'll need someone to take notes. Kim, would you do the honors again? Thank you.
Do that.
My hero.
I just need to put this on speaker.
Okay. So let me know when you're ready, and we'll get going.
I'm ready.
Okay. I will call the meeting to order at 5:33 p.m. Pacific time, and we will take roll. I, Dave Pawson, am present. Kim Laird.
Here.
Martin Frost. Not present. Lloyd Timberlake.
Here.
Mike Sullivan.
Here.
Nathan Wakefield.
Present.
Scott Krause.
Here.
Tom Wall. Okay. Sandy Brown, we've established, is absent. And Aaron Stevens.
Here.
All right. So, we need to approve the agenda for today. Hopefully people got to take a look at it. Will anyone make a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting?
I'll make that motion, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron. Will anyone second that?
Second, Lloyd.
Thank you, Lloyd. Any discussion about the agenda?
Sorry, I'm trying to open it right now. My connection's going really, really slow. I just wanted to say that I know in my reports I had brought up an idea for World Juggling Day that could potentially maybe turn into a motion. But could we add that later if it does? And
yeah, I think we
mainly just want a discussion on it and then deciding whether or not we wanted to do a motion or not.
Yeah, I think we have plenty of precedent to say that if we discuss it and decide we want to add a motion, we can do that. So. Okay, so unless anyone has anything they need to change, we can vote on that. Does anyone disapprove of the agenda as written? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay, the agenda is unanimously approved. Thank you. We need to approve the minutes from the April meeting. Will anyone make that motion?
Move, Lloyd.
Thank you, Lloyd. Will anyone second that?
I'll second.
Thank you. We can move to discussion. I noticed a couple things in the minutes, actually, that we probably should correct or amend. The goofy one is that the minutes say that Sandy was both present and absent. She was absent, so we should clarify that. The minutes say that the factual report was going to be provided after the meeting, but I don't think I ever saw one last month. Is that right, or did I just miss it?
Which report was that?
The festival report last month.
Oh, you know what? I never went back and listened to the audio so that I could write it up. I can do that.
Okay.
But I won't get it done until tomorrow sometime.
Okay. And similarly, the notes from April say that the fund report for last month was going to be emailed out and posted, and I don't think that was either. Is that right?
That I'm not sure about, but I'll check.
Okay.
And if so, I'll make that correction.
Okay. But other than that, the minutes looked fine to me. Did anyone else notice anything? Okay. So I guess now we need to have a motion to amend. Is that right? I think. Yeah. So does anyone make a motion to?
It has to be the same person who made the first motion, I think.
Right. So that would be Lloyd. Would you?
I move.
Thank you. And Kim seconded it last time.
Yep.
That work? Okay, thank you. Unless there's any further discussion, we will vote. Okay, does anyone disapprove of the April minutes with the corrections we just discussed? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay, the April minutes are approved with the amendments that we discussed. Thank you. Okay, that brings us through to our reports. The first one, which definitely came in and was very detailed this month, thank you, was Kim's festival report. Hopefully people got to take a look at that so we can discuss. I only noticed one thing I wanted to ask about. With the indoor camping last month, we discussed how there were two choices, and I think we had said that we preferred the air-conditioned open space in the end of Bowling Green decide for us.
Yeah, Bowling Green decided for us.
I don't think that's tragic.
I don't think so either. It's just they have a group on campus that is in charge of safety, and I forget what their official title is, but every time some question comes up, such as for fire nights and one of the acts in the Tuesday night show is a dog act. And so it was a whole issue that we had that I had to present to this other committee on campus. It's basically a safety committee. And they felt that it was safer having the campers in the unair-conditioned area.
That's probably true. Not as fun, but probably true.
Wait, to have the camping where?
It's going to be in one of the old sorority houses.
All right.
It is not air-conditioned.
Not air-conditioned one. Okay.
But they do have rooms. There are two beds in every room. They're, BGSU is looking at it as each room is a tent. And there are 40 rooms in the house, which is convenient.
So they're only going to have to pay camping prices, but they'll get beds and...
Well, yeah, and the beds won't have linens or anything, so they'll still have to bring their sleeping bags and whatnot. And those who have registered to camp, I am emailing them to make sure that they are aware of all that.
Okay, good.
Okay. Did anyone have any other topics of discussion or comments on Kim's festival report? We need to discuss the fun stuff, but that's actually listed as a separate item, so I guess we can cover that when we get to it.
I am excited, though, because as of right before I got on this phone call, there are now 20 preliminary entries for the championships.
Wow.
There's 20.
Great.
20. Do you know the breakdown of, like, seniors or individuals, teams, juniors at all?
Off the top of my head, I don't, and
yeah.
I haven't run through the most recent videos to check on that. It seems like as of last night, it was pretty even, evenly dispersed.
Plenty of juniors, though.
Yeah. Well, juniors is a little bit behind teams and seniors, but that's okay.
That's usually the case, I guess.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, it's going to be a fabulous set of championship shows. I looked at the videos already. It's going to be a really good, good competition.
Yeah.
So it's going to be great. We're also up to, and I'm not going to be able to tell real quick. Registrations test, we currently have, as I put in my report, a bunch of vendors. And as of right now, we're at 200 and – I'm sorry, I'm figuring in my head right now because there are three people that have to be registered yet. 282 pre-registered as of right now.
That's great, I would think.
Compared
to
numbers
– what? 232?
282.
Oh, that's fabulous. That's really great.
Yeah.
I love those numbers right now.
It looks like very possibly I'm excited. I think I'm going to hit the budget number. So.
Yeah, I was trying to remember, what was our balanced budget number? How many?
430.
And that's for profit, right? For the profit in the budget?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Got it. Sweet. I could see that happening.
I can definitely see that happening because Jugheads and Sade Ignatius have not sent me their registration.
Wow. I know plenty of people who haven't registered yet that are planning to go, too. So.
Sade Ignatius is, from what I heard, are probably at least 20 kids.
Nice.
So they're going to bring a big group, and as we know, Jugheads usually represent. So I'm expecting at least 50 registrations just from those two groups.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Anything else on the festival report? Okay. Thank you, Kim.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Mike had given us a future fest planning report. Thank you for that. Did anyone have questions or comments on that?
The one thing I was just thinking of, the options look great. It's awesome that you're talking to new cities already for 2016. One thing that concerns me just a little is just that idea of keeping the West Coast in the loop on things and getting some West Coast quotes, too, or starting to talk to some folks, just because it's going to be a lot of festivals in a row, and I'm afraid some of our West Coast folks might lose interest if we go too long without having West Coast festivals.
Well, I appreciate that, Aaron. The West Coast cities that I've talked to, we've had to disqualify UCLA and Berkeley.
Oh, right. Cause
yeah, we're just way, way out of our league, and
yeah,
they don't really want to mess around with a group like us. They have more business than they can handle.
That's where some of the smaller schools, like even state colleges or community colleges, could be ideal for such situations.
Yeah,
or for cheaper.
Well, that was the case also with Reed College, which is a relatively small institution, but they have a very, very big summer conference business. The one live wire that I still have is with Portland State. It's taking this guy that I'm dealing with there, Mark, some time to chase down all the different things that we want. I'm expecting to hear from him before the summer's over, but, you know, I've also reached out to our contact at this company called Unique Venues. And they represent dozens and dozens of non-traditional conference and convention venues, and they're going to keep an eye out for anything for us for the West Coast as well.
Right. That's great. One other thing, too, Mike, this is kind of a long shot and just something to be aware of, is there's somebody in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, who's actually been talking to an amazing convention center down there. Potentially for an idea for 2017-18, looking down the road a bit. But if the IRCs continue to grow and stuff, I could see that being a potential likelihood down the road, and maybe getting you in touch with him as he's figuring things out could be good, or I don't know how to pass on that idea to you just for further exploration.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to hear from anybody.
Okay.
I think there'd be a lot of challenges getting people to go to Mexico, but we can deal with that if we find out.
Yeah. And the nice thing about, like, Puerto Vallarta specifically is it's a super tourist city. It's really cheap to fly to from the U.S., far cheaper than for me to fly to New York, for example. but they also, everything there is in English and Spanish, and it's also one of the safest cities in Mexico. And, yeah, so there's some good things. And it's right on the beach. The convention center is right on the ocean, which I think that alone draw some interest from people that maybe haven't gone to IJs in the past, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just something to think about.
I'm realizing I wrote up kind of a mixed bag report of all the things I'm working on and then didn't link it anywhere into the agenda. So I don't know if anyone saw it. So there was, okay, good. I did note in there, Mike, that I followed up with Quebec. And, yeah, there's nothing wrong there. They're just being slow. They said that the letter as I provided it is fine. they may want to tweak it depending on who exactly they're targeting it at, and they will have that figured out sometime in June. So they agree now the ball is in their court, and I expect to hear from them in June.
Good. Just so you all know, we are now about 14 months out from our 2014 festival, and we're just on the verge of having a contract signed. And from the in the business of conference planning, we are way late. Any conference our size, we should have 2 years booked in the bank at all times.
Oh.
And so what I'm finding is it's taking me more than a year to find each year's convention site. And so that's not workable long term. I don't know what I can do to speed things up, but I just wanted to let everybody know that we are, you know, we don't have a comfort level right now with where we're at as far as 2015. If Turbo falls through, then I've got just barely 2 years to find a place for 2015. Well, really just a year, because any place that's any good is going to be more than booked up a year in advance. So, you know, it's not time to get nervous yet, but I just want to let the board know that I'm trying to find places faster than we use them up. In other words, finding places in less than a year's time, and it's something I haven't been able to do yet. It's just a very long, drawn-out process, and I hope by going to this conference in October, I'll be able to get a lot of leads for 2015, 2016, 2017, so I can get ahead of the game a little bit.
Yeah, I guess we talked about all those other things. We didn't talk about Purdue in your report. There's a motion to vote on it in the agenda, but at least from where I sit, the new terms that, that you got them to agree to seem much more sane.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are something I'm comfortable with. I don't know if anyone else had thoughts on it.
I think they're pretty reasonable, you know, for the amount of space we're asking them to reserve for us, and they're only really asking for, you know, $8,000 up until 6 months before the festival total. 2,000 now and 6,500 in January.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that deposit is going to go towards the rental of the site?
Oh, yes, of course. It's not money that they're just going to take from us. No, it all goes against our bill.
It was a deposit, not a fee.
Right, it's part of money, but just holding our place, basically.
Mm-hmm. So I take it then, Dave, you'll ask for a motion to approve this and sign it and get it back?
Yeah, it's already in the agenda.
Okay.
So... okay. Did anyone else have anything else they want to discuss on future festival planning? Okay. We'll move on then. I keep carrying forward this thing for a membership drive. Scott, do you want me to just take that out and not continue at this time?
Okay. Yeah, for right now, please.
Okay. We got an education report from Aaron. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
The only question I had, I think it's cool that YEP is starting to turn its money towards making props available for pods that need it. I was just curious, have we defined and documented some more of the process by which a pod does that?
It's been discussed at this point. Mainly there's not a whole lot of pods, so right now it's not a huge concern. But for the future, it's something we definitely want to outline more as it continues to grow and such. At this point, it's been pods contacting me. We're going to be sending out a big email to all the people who have been certified coming up pretty soon that Ellen's putting together that'll outline that we have props available should they need it, and just to contact us, and we'll assess, you know, the need, how many students they have, and also some kind of guidelines around, you know, should that pod discontinue, getting those props back, you know, having those props be given back to other pods or
Right.
The organizers or something like that.
I discussed a while ago, right?
Right. Would be.
Because I already have Higgins stuff that I have in my possession that actually belongs to YEP. So.
Right. Totally. So coming up with some kind of guidelines around that would be great, or, you know, what we'll plan to do. And.
Yeah, you're right. At the scale we're at now, I think just a mass email letting people know that the option is out there is probably plenty sufficient.
Right.
And
yeah.
Fine. I'm
totally.
Still able to expense new props to the school, so I'm doing great. I just wanted, it would be a shame if we had this cool opportunity and nobody knew.
Yeah, totally. So that's where we're trying to, and then it'll be at the same time that we're notifying them about the T-shirts coming out and just kind of the whole shift that's been going through and our hopes to really be, you know, in more constant contact with people, biannual emails, like twice a year, just checking in and saying any updates going on, and so we're not losing touch with the folks that are certified. And that's the main reason, yeah, for wanting to discontinue, or not discontinue, but put a pause on the trainings. It's just the overwhelming number of people to deal with. It becomes, each year it becomes more and more to deal with. And yeah, so putting a pause so we can really make it a well-oiled machine before getting more certifications out there.
If you do have the time at the festival, I would suggest it'd be nice to have like a YEP reunion where you could
right.
have all the current
That's
reps
cool.
get together and talk about what they've done over the year.
Cool.
I don't know if you'll have enough time to put that together, or if you want me to run something like that. But it's
I don't
a
know
workshop.
If you should keep doing. We can just stick it in the workshop schedule.
Right, that would be neat.
That
yeah,
once you can show up and
that would be great. Does anyone who's been certified come and chat? And then also, my hope is to have T-shirts there. I don't know if I send T-shirts to the store. Do those T-shirts ever make it to the festival to be sold, like at the festival? Does anyone know? If that makes sense. For example, last year I got the World Juggling Day T-shirt sent to me, and I was the one shipping them all out because we didn't have a store manager at the time. And so I took a whole bunch of them to the festival, and they sold out in a heartbeat. But I'm just wondering if they're at the store.
Well, Rob Detweiler did register for the fest, so, and he's our store manager.
So probably not then. Did or didn't?
Did.
Oh, okay.
Did.
Oh, good.
So, yeah.
Great.
I
would potentially bring a bunch of shirts. Where does Bob
live? Is he near the fest, or is he going to fly?
Right.
New York. He's in New York.
So he'll be flying, most likely.
Barely.
Yeah.
He's like an hour and a half, 2 hours from me, and I'm driving.
Right. Oh, you are. Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, I just took what I could fit in my suitcase on top of all my stuff last year, you know, and like I said, it sold out really quick, so I think the more we can get our merchandise there where folks can see it, I think that would be great as far as sales go. But as far as the YEP shirts go, it would be nice to be able to hand some to active YEP pods who say that it would be beneficial for them to be able to give to their kids and stuff and just have them on hand instead of having to deal with shipping them out to each of the pods. But that could be done at the little reunion you were talking about. So, yeah, maybe, Dave, I'll just check in with you because I know I'll be talking to you about other workshops eventually.
Yeah, let's do that. I think it'd be fun.
About that. Okay. Perfect.
Cool. Okay, was there anything else on YEP or education? Okay. In that case, I just remembered a discussion item we sort of skipped. So in Kim's report, she raised the whole dilemma of where does stuff –
Yeah.
go after the festival.
Oh, right.
Which is vague, but I think you all know what I mean because it was in our notes.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how this normally works, honestly.
All right. What has been happening now for the last 3 years is Stephanie Gardner-Walsh, who lives in Winston-Salem, has been taking the fest items, or we've been shipping them to her house, and she has been storing them in her storage container in her backyard. The problem has been that Steph has been going through graduate courses. She's running marathons now. She's having some issues with her teaching job in North Carolina. That's why she's going through a doctoral program right now. She has her master's. And her life is just getting to be to the point where when I ask if she can get me an inventory on something or, you know, is this there, or in the case of Warren, he wanted the games from the fun fund sent to him, and, you know, they finally made it to my house over Easter. So it's just becoming an issue, not even with getting into things, but it's just she's been gracious enough to store these items for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And we just need to, think, where are we going to go? What are we going to do with everything? I also have 4 or 5 very large boxes and or suitcases with all IJA paperwork. A lot of it, I'm sure, can be thrown out because it's receipts in that from early years. There are some things in there that I'm sure we don't want to get rid of, like things that are Art Jennings in his handwriting and that. But they're going to need to go somewhere, too, because I've had them here stored at my house for the last 7 years.
Right.
So it really.
Okay, well, I suggested a solution for this 2 years ago. Cameron McEwen started to follow up on it when he was on the fund, but I don't think anything ever went anywhere. And the idea was that the IJA buy or rent a rolling storage container. This is something about the size of, a double bunk bed. It's a solid steel box on wheels. Weighs about 500 pounds. It's lockable. And you can cram it completely full of whatever you want, anything you can fit in there. And then you call any trucking company in the world, and they will come and pick it up from any dock and take it anywhere you want or store it in a warehouse. And then when the next year's festival comes around, you call up any trucking company and tell them to go get it and bring it to you, and you roll it right into the gym. And everything you have is in that one place. There's no worrying about where did it go, who's got it, where do we ship it, how many boxes do we need to ship and account for. The other nice thing is that at the end of the day, when it's time to shut down the IJA table, you just take the T-shirts and the cash register and the trophies and you put them in the show guard, is what I call these things. They're from the trade show business. You slam them into the show guard, you put the padlock on the door, and you walk away. And this is a proven solution. It's used in the trade show industry everywhere in the world. It's inexpensive, it works, and we can store that container anywhere in a mini storage unit that somebody already has or at a commercial warehouse for a very low rate per year, per month.
But there are also other storage places like Packrat and that where we would not have to worry about arranging the truck and purchasing a container. And I'm just throwing this out there. I'm not saying the show guard is a bad thing, but we need to look at the pricing for different things.
Okay. Cameron looked at the Packrat and the pods and all of those. Those are freakishly expensive because they're designed for short-term use, and they're way, way, way bigger than we need. A show guard unit is 4 feet wide, 4 to 6 feet tall, and 8 feet long. So it's a couple of hundred cubic feet. That's all we really need. The smallest pod you can get is 8 by 8 by 12. So it's much, much bigger. And the big problem with a pod is you can't move it around. It has to be moved by a special piece of machinery, and you can't bring it into a building and move it where you want it to be. And as I say, the pricing on the pods is very, very high, hundreds of dollars per month. So pods and things like pods, while they're great for moving apartments and renovating offices and things like that, they're way bigger than we need, they're not as mobile as we need, and they're much more expensive than we want.
And the show guard costs how much?
Well, we can buy a new one. I've got the pricing on file. Let me find that while we're talking. We can buy them new or we can buy them used. Or we can probably find a show management company that can rent them for us. And the company that makes these is in California. I got pricing directly from them. It's going to take me a minute to find my stuff that I get sent to Cameron. But they make them in several different sizes with a few different options. The company I worked for did many, many trade shows every year. We had a fleet of these things. And it's really the only way to go when you're managing mobile product and equipment. It would save us a lot of hassle, a lot of time. It would keep our product and our inventory safe. It would save us money since we're not shipping many things. We're shipping just one thing. And be a big workload saver at each year's festival as well.
Right, but if I'm missing something, it doesn't answer the question Kim asked.
No, it doesn't.
Well, the answer, the question Kim asked can be solved by this if we get one before this year's festival. We would have it shipped to Bowling Green when the festival is over, put all the stuff in the show guard, and then, you know, call a commercial trucking company or a public warehouse and say, come and get this and store it for us.
Store it where? That's the question Kim asked.
Well, why don't we store it in the middle of the country? That way it'll be ready to go to Purdue next year.
Which means we're still going to have to pay probably a couple hundred bucks a month plus the price of the container.
Well, I wouldn't think it's going to be a couple hundred. I would think it would be about $100 a month maybe to store a storage container. But is the alternative asking people to store this stuff in their house?
That is one alternative.
Well,
you would know better than me. What happens if we ask Purdue if we can ship it there?
Well, they will say we're not a warehouse. They will direct you to, public storage place, or maybe we have an IJA member who owns or rents a self-storage unit, a mini storage locker somewhere that can carve out a 4x8 footprint space for us and donate that space to the IJA.
Yeah, it may just be find a different volunteer who's willing to put up with it for a few years, because we've had one that was kind enough to do it for 3 years, and I think she's done her time.
And this stuff has been stored by different people over the, 60-some-odd years. It maybe been smaller amounts or different people storing different parts of it. But we didn't Kim also asked a question about getting access to some stuff in the middle of the year, not at the festival. So mm-hmm. I don't know how often that has to happen.
Well, and that's also just a matter of when you're packing, making sure you have an accurate inventory that, goes to the next person. I have to admit, when I was helping Matt pack up this year, I don't know if he actually wrote down an inventory, but I didn't get one. It's just the person who runs the fest has to do an accurate inventory at the end of the festival and pass it on to the next fest director.
Okay, I found the info that I sent to Cameron just about exactly a year ago. I got a price quote for two of these units. They're 148 cubic feet, and they were $2,400 each, new. We can probably find one used for half that or less. And, take it from there. I think it solves pretty much every problem the IJA has.
How much, Jay? Could you say the price again? Sorry.
They're $2,500 each, new. But we could probably find one used from some show management company somewhere. These things are in use by the tens of thousands in the trade show business. So there's lots of them out there.
Okay.
You may have seen them in the shape of wire cages, where it's just a wire mesh cage for security of liquor and things like that at events and concerts. This is the same idea, except it's solid steel walls.
I just did a quick a quote on pods. I tried to get it on PackRat, but I couldn't. The service wasn't available. For a 12 by 8 by 8 foot pod, it runs $139 a month for rental, and there's $104.99 initial delivery fee. That's with them storing it in their facility, and it comes to $1,772.99 for the year.
Okay, plus you have to, there's a delivery fee to drop off the empty one, a delivery fee to pick up the full one, then the storage meter starts, then the delivery fee to deliver the full one and come back and pick up the full one at the end of the festival. So there's a lot of, you know, they don't drive those things around for free. They get paid every time they touch one of those.
Right.
So the storage is one part of it. And keep in mind that I just built a new house in used pods when we had to move our furniture out. Those things are 5 times bigger than we need. 12 by 8 by 8 is the size of a bedroom. You know, that's way more space than we need. And then once you get to the convention center, where are you going to put it? Not in a convenient place. It's going to be kept either outdoors or on the loading dock at the convention center.
What space do we have for the archive?
That is housed out at the magazine publisher, Howard.
Alan Howard.
Alan Howard's boss, actually.
Uh-huh.
So, and we get charged $100 a month for it being there.
So if we're already paying $100 for a month, does anyone know if that's a possibility? Because $100 a month, we can say, oh, it doesn't sound like that much. But again, every time we do something like that, that's a significant percentage of the income we make in a year.
Well, it's also $100 a month plus shipping it either by UPS or FedEx or something to get it there.
Right, but we're going to have to ship it somewhere no matter what, right?
Well, yeah, depending on what way you go. Like if you go with something that's an all-inclusive, like the pack rat or pods, that's a little different. But that's why I said we need to look into this because it would be nice to have a solution by the end of the fest.
Yeah.
Mike, how much does it cost to ship this thing you're talking about, and how big is it again?
Well, they come in different sizes, and the most typical size is about 4 by 8 by 6. And it's on heavy-duty steel wheels. Can roll it around. One person can roll these things around even when they're completely full. And most trucking companies will ship them anywhere in the world based on weight. I would say we would probably have less than a half a ton of total weight inside that box. And so I could find out what it would cost to ship one, let's say, from Bowling Green to Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
My guess would be it would be a couple of $100.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think we should take this offline because it's not actually what we were trying to discuss in the first place, but it is a good discussion to have, and it sounds like we have at least a couple of
options
that we should do our homework on.
Mm-hmm.
But if we want to get through everything in the agenda tonight in a reasonable time, we should probably table this for now. But, yeah, Mike, if you could flesh out the details on that option, that would be great. And I will start a discussion on the board to cover the others. Does that work for people?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We took that detour after the education report. So IRC report from Aaron. Yeah, we're back to you again.
I know, right?
So I didn't have any particular questions. I don't know if anyone did. Obviously, you had a main point for discussion, which
I had a point for discussion. Yeah, and mainly it was just an idea that I just wanted to. I've brought it up to a couple of the board members just as a thought. But IRC in general, yeah, things are good. If everyone read it, mainly. Main concern right now is, assuming visas get approved, is figuring out how to fly the winners here, which I brought up last month in my report as well. And currently, because I was like, well, we could do a full-on fundraising thing. Currently, I do not have any time to put towards extra stuff because of the World Juggling Day and the IRC Mexico and everything. So the idea of doing an extra fundraiser on top of all that right now is a little overwhelming. And Lloyd is, he's like I said, he's going to be talking to some places down in South America about getting some businesses to sponsor the flights, which is cool. But the point of discussion in this was in regards to World Juggling Day 2 is we have the membership discount coming up, and one thought was the idea of putting the money we raise on World Juggling Day towards the IRCs. Just as a point of discussion, and mainly, yeah, looking at that. I think it was Lloyd who we had a phone chat the other day, and he said, yeah, well, it makes sense because it's World Juggling Day, and it makes sense that it would go to one of our big international outreach programs. So that's kind of where the idea came from. If anyone wants to discuss it.
I mean, I guess my whole take there was that it certainly it seems like a good cause, and it makes some amount of sense. The real problem there is it seems like in the last couple board meetings we've realized we kind of slid into this year without putting together much of a budget.
Totally. I'm concerned about that as well.
And so it's tough to just kind of say in a vacuum, yeah, we should spend that on that when we don't know what else we might need to spend it on or want
totally.
To spend it on or whether we have the money to spend it all. And
do we have a budget in the works at all? Is anyone making any progress with that, or is that something we're going to put together?
I don't think we do. I think last month we kind of said, hey, I don't think we have a budget, do we?
No.
And then we didn't follow up on it. So
okay.
I think we, you know, we're not going to do that on the fly on this call, but I think...
No, definitely not, obviously.
That's
a major need to do.
And that's
sure.
something we need to do before the next meeting is getting
yeah.
underway. So...
Yes.
I would say between Scott and I, we can start that discussion. Does that work for you, Scott?
Certainly.
Okay.
Yeah, cool.
So
yeah, definitely.
By the time
I agree.
We get together next time, we'll know where it stands. And if the money's there, then I'm like, sure, that sounds like a good thing to spend money on. I would
right.
love to get the winners to the festival.
Yeah, and like I said, as all, I mean, I think Carlos is much more likely to attend at this point than Franklin just because of lack of communication because he's in the middle of his senior's thesis and master's thesis and such. But, I mean, should they both get their visas, I just think it would make the program and IJ not be as favorable as it currently is, which I outlined too. Like, I think the program has really made the IJ popular in Latin America amazingly. Like, I'm so impressed with how much people know about the IJ now because when I first started contacting them, they're like, what? Huh? IJ? What? Never heard of it, and now everyone knows what it is, and I think the IRCs have been a big part of that, and should we follow through with this piece of the agreement of the competitions, then that'll just make us look real good and make people be in our favor even more, and so.
Right, so that's the kind of measured approach I've talked about before, which is it's great if everybody loves us, but if everyone loves us and says, I love you, I'm not going to give you any money, please
right.
spend money for me.
Totally. However, I also feel it's a thing of we're just starting down there. I mean,
yep.
if we were just starting in the U.S., how many people would become members right off the bat? I think you need to build a legitimate presence and, like, focus of, hey, we're not just going to, like, do this one time and then peace out and pretend like you don't exist anymore, you know, for the whole region of the world, but rather following through and showing that we've got commitment to it, I think will only make people realize the value of supporting the organization and getting memberships. And I would love to do a big push for the World Juggling Day to get a lot more international members, you know, and I know I outlined, too, in the World Juggling Day plan some of my marketing plans for the lowered rate and everything, but really pushing the international membership thing and just seeing how that turns out, too, because I could be totally wrong and we might not get 2 new members from South America.
right.
But if it's done right, I could also see it being effective.
Right. So I was going to ask you, can you do me/us a favor? I got Marilyn to give us numbers on overall membership.
Totally.
But it might be interesting. Can you talk to Marilyn and figure out what has happened with our international membership since we started doing IRCs?
Not much of the, I know we looked into
right,
that.
Right, because it didn't go through the roof, clearly. We'd know
not
that,
at all. I think
I
we had like two in Mexico and one in South America or something like that last time I checked. But it's also not something that we've pushed. We didn't have cards handed out saying become a member or pushing the membership benefits. And I feel like our current within the next month our membership benefits are increasing just that much more with the Jay Gilligan film, the Chile IRC film, and the announcement of the full festival DVD. I feel like our membership benefits are now getting to the point where it's worth definitely the $19 on World Juggling Day and $29. But
yeah, I agree. I'm kind of
withdraw any members.
Right. I'm confused and concerned. We haven't seen more movement already because we've been saying that oh, we made it.
Totally.
Oh, now it's got to be worth it. Now it's got to be. And the numbers are staying very, very flat. And in particular, they're not moving at all when we add each of these benefits.
Right. Totally. Yeah. And it's hard to know what's going to be the. But I think also mine and Tom's thing was like it's going to be an accumulative thing. West Peden alone isn't that big. Whereas once you get West Peden plus this, plus that, plus this, plus that, eventually it starts looking good, and it's how we promote it, too.
Right.
Which, yeah.
So, like I said, I'm not saying that we have failed or anything, but we've added a decent amount in the last year and grown membership basically none. It's stayed flat. So the same with, like, the IRCs. I think they're
totally.
We are planting good seeds.
But
if we say, okay, so this is a good start because we got three people to join, so we should invest $2,400 in it, right?
Right.
I want to pay to bring those guys up. I think.
Totally.
But clearly we're still sort of misjudging when and why and how people are going to join.
Yeah.
So
and I don't feel like the goal when I came on the board of the IRCs was to get membership originally. That wasn't the primary focus. It was more to change the image of the IJ being an international organization.
Yep.
And that's what it's done. And it's totally achieved that goal.
Right.
And now we can start pushing the membership thing. But I don't think, you know, I wouldn't even think that a lot of people until they, you know, find us either on Facebook or eJuggle or whatever even knows membership exists within the IJ. So it's just a stepping point. But I also, yeah, it's a balance because I feel like there has to be some kind of investment to build the interest, to build the
right. And I think
that's
support
and that
we need to kind of balance pushing membership with investing money in it.
Totally. I hear
and
that.
And we need to stay more or less in balance with each other. So
totally.
That's all.
I guess that's kind of where I was thinking, you know, the idea of having the IRC or the World Juggling Day income going towards the IRCs, that's all for memberships. And if people are more inclined, you know, and I could be totally wrong and it wouldn't have any effect on anyone if they knew that it was going towards the IRCs or could have negative effect or who knows. But
right. You know, it may also be a very different discussion after World Juggling Day when we see how many people join.
Right. Right.
Because, you know, we thought that, like, Wes's video would move the needle a lot.
Right.
If we look after World Juggling Day and we go, whoa, we got 50 new members, well, that still wouldn't pay for the tickets. But but that would be pretty interesting. And if we look and it's three more, then we'll go, huh, we still have no idea how to get people
still
to join.
Hurting. Yeah, we're still hurting. Totally.
So I'm not opposed to the idea. It's more just we need to keep the money in balance with the income.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, I've been chatting a lot. What does anyone else think on this subject?
I think it's hard to get masses of people interested in anything. Basically, we've been trying membership drives for, 30 years or so, and they've all had virtually no effect. I mean, you know, we get maybe 20 members from here or there. I got about 30 new members in the drive in the early 90s over a two-year period at my fest. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't think we're getting, you know, any of the benefits are really drawing in significant numbers of people at all. My guess is 5 or 10 people have joined because of eJuggle benefits, the video. I did get, for the first time ever, a message today that said, some guy couldn't log into eJuggle, and he wanted to see the new Jay video. And then he said, in a later message, oh, I see my membership has lapsed. I'll go renew. And
that's,
and that's
right.
Like the first time I've ever seen that anybody say that sort of thing. So at least we got one person because of the video, but that's all I know of.
Yep.
Right,
and
so far, totally.
Right, and I think the West video was similar in that it was easy to be optimistic and think, oh, maybe we'll get, you know, tens of new members because of this, and I think we got a handful.
Mm-hmm.
So
those handful have been contacting me, being like, I can't wait for the day video. So it's good that we're following up with something.
Because yeah,
that was the main thing, was like, videos like this is what is going to attract me, is what I heard. But not just one, as was something else I heard too, like, not just one, that's, you know. But at the same time, a West Beeden video costs $20 to buy, you know, when he makes his own, and tons of people do it. So where do we figure out what's missing on our end?
Right, because I think so far, just about everything we have invested in to increase membership, we have lost money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably true over the years. I have one other comment that I got from a member today or yesterday, and that was he sent me a message. He was saying, well, I was thinking about dropping my membership because the print magazine was gone, and I really like that. But I've decided the IJA is an organization that I want to support. I don't know what word he used, but he basically compared us, not directly, but he said, you know, like NPR, National
right.
Public Radio, he was willing to support us as an organization worthy of support.
Totally.
And I think Patton said, please spread the word. That's what we think, too.
Exactly.
I think that's what we need to do to get
so
people to support us by becoming members.
I think so, too. And that's where, because I know I outlined in my World Juggling Day plan is for that reduced rate is to do, at least on Facebook and then hopefully on eJuggle, too, but something about, you know, top 10 reasons to be an IJA member, outlining the benefits, yes, but also outlining all the amazing programs that you're supporting and doing a post on each one just to try to bring more attention, because I think a lot of people don't know anything beyond the festival or beyond the IRC or beyond, you know, whatever it is that they were attracted to the IJA for. But showing... yeah, you're supporting an awesome organization that supports jugglers worldwide, you know, and puts on programs like World Juggling Day. And
well, and like the supporting the MMCC, I think that's something we're
totally.
Doing. Supporting you know, poor kids in Afghanistan. This is
right.
This is the sort of thing that a charitable organization would be doing. And that's, I mean, although we are not listed as a charitable organization, we're an educational organization.
Close enough, yeah.
But that's the sort of thing that we, I think, need to try to encourage people. We shouldn't be selling ourselves as, look, here's, you pay us and here's what you get for it. You know, we should be saying we're doing good things for people in the world, whether they're jugglers or kids in Afghanistan. And you know, you may not benefit financially from it, but it will feel good.
Organization. Yeah, I think there's a balance of the two, and I think the more we build our membership benefits, and then because there is that thing, I know, Dave, you've brought up before, like, or when specific member says, you know, you go to, what's that big store where you have to be a member to buy anything, Costco?
Yeah.
And they say, the reason I become a member and pay that money is because I get a benefit, and there's definitely those people with that mindset of what are you going to do for me? And then there's the people with the mindset of, I like doing good for others and for the world. So I think there's a balance of the...
Right, and I think anytime I've posted trying to encourage people to be members, I've tried to mention both, because
right.
It would be nice if everyone just wanted to support what we're doing, but, I mean, we've all heard enough people say, well, if you won't send me a magazine, then I won't be a member.
Right.
So there certainly is some contingent out there that's in the, like, well, I need to know what's in it for me.
Right, what's my benefit? What do I get out of it? Right.
But I don't want people to lose track of the other one, because I think that there are a lot of people out there that are just not getting it. And they're like, well, I don't see why I'd be a member. By the way, when are you going to have another IRC? Or whatever. And it's like, well, never
if
none of you ever join.
It and we can't.
Because
right.
Those things cost money.
Totally.
So.
Totally.
Okay. We have a lot to cover, so is there anything else on this topic, or should we move on?
I just want to throw one thing out there, Dave. If you and Scott, like, I know I have on my computer somewhere the operating budgets that we either approved or worked on in past years, so
sure.
That might help to act as a base for you?
I am hoping our last one will be something I can find on the site, but if it is not, I will gladly take you up on that offer. So thanks.
Sure. I know it existed last year. I remember seeing it.
Right.
My World's Ugliest Day budget was in there, and I like didn't know about it until I looked at it. Okay.
All right.
So, so I won't propose any. That was the thing that could become a proposal. I won't propose anything now, but mainly just on my end, I really don't have time to do a full-fledged fundraiser type thing on top of everything else going on, so just for everyone to be aware of that.
Yep, understood. Okay. Website stuff. I don't think Mike has anything new for us, but I know at least Scott and I both looked at Wild Apricot at least somewhat. Yeah?
Yes.
I can
sum it up as a little pricey. It seems to have everything we would need. As far as I can tell, I didn't see any holes or anything, aside from the fact that if you would have to use third-party store, you would have to integrate, like, PayPal storefront through HTML. But other than that, it seemed to work just fine for everything I could think of.
Right, and my conclusion was sort of that I think saying, oh, we should just use WordPress ignores the back-end side of it, but saying we should get Wild Apricot ignores a lot of the front-end side of it, because I think we won't be happy with the front-end we have, and some of the user-facing problems we have now will be just as bad, because they'll have one login for their membership, and they'll have one login for eJuggle, and it sounds like they'll probably have another login for the store, which is one of the things that really stinks right now.
Having the separate things. One thing you had said in your update, Dave, was that WordPress would probably have better front-end stuff, but lacking in the back-end. I don't know if anyone has ever looked at, I think it's firedrums.org is a program I'm on the inside of because my juggling partner is on the board for that, Kevin Axel. And they just redid their whole website to have it be where people could register for the festival, and it's all through WordPress. There's a login where everyone logs in. They can change their own membership information, your address, your email. You know, you can access it and change all your information on your own. And it's all WordPress. So I do think there is definitely possibilities for back-end within WordPress. It's just knowing what they are and...
Yeah, I think out of the box it won't do everything we'd want, but I think it's also part of the benefit of it is it's very expandable. It just takes somebody doing work to.
It does, yes.
To make that happen.
And I do. I think I mentioned last year that the guy who ended up designing being the T-shirt designer for World Juggling Day also is a web designer, and he said he'd at least be interested in chatting about the website and options, just for another perspective, not that we need, and potentially doing a bid if he was interested in it. Anyhow, Wild Apricot.
So yeah, in my copious free time, I'm hoping to try to learn more about either what you can do or what exists to put a stronger membership system behind something like WordPress. Because I doubt what it has now is really going to satisfy our needs. But from my exchange with WordPress or with Wild Apricot, I think they're not in the business of trying to integrate better with something like WordPress. They're just like, nope, we don't do that. So, and so that sort of leaves me looking at it from the other direction. But we'll see what I can learn or find.
Okay.
And again, anyone else who's
you should look at that FireDrums website just because it's a good example of WordPress selling tickets, having personal accounts, having a grocery or having a shopping cart.
Yep.
Having that volunteer sign up.
Does that on the FireDrums side?
What's that?
Is that who does all that on the FireDrums side? Is that
it's
Noelle?
It's a professional web designer that they hired. Who designed it all for them.
Okay. Can you shoot me whatever contact information you have for that person so I can at least ask them some questions?
I don't have any right now, but I can at least
Or I can ask
write
Noel.
Kevin and get it. Or, yeah, ask Noel, or I can write Kevin and get it, too, easily enough. I know he's in my local area, and he does a bunch of website design for Kevin. So, anyhow, just an interesting perspective. And they also have, like, a volunteer thing where you can sign up for the hours that you're volunteering. I thought that could be something cool to integrate into the IJ in the future, like, that I know Matt had brought up, like, where people sign up for a two-hour volunteer shift as part of their registration process.
Yep.
Things like that. But.
All right. Anything else on this front?
No.
Okay. Marketing.
Oh. Again.
I didn't have any particular questions after reading those reports.
Okay.
I don't know if anyone else did.
No.
Did you guys hear about the Ripley's thing or read about the Ripley's thing? Dave, I thought
you'd right. Yeah, I mean, I'm
happy about that, potentially.
Well, so given the discussion you and I had, I saw that and I'm like, that could either end up being really good or really bad.
Right.
Since my only concern with it before is I was a little squirmy about being associated with a face contortion contest.
Which I was.
So if they want to say, you know, we're not going to do that, but we're going to put all our energy behind helping you with the World Juggling Day, of course I'm not going to complain about that. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah.
But, of course, they go, we're just going to ditch the whole thing.
We're going to ditch the whole thing. That's my one concern, because I've already done so much PR on it, and it would be bad, make us look bad, unfortunately. But he had told me before all this came down, he said, yeah, all the sites are totally more interested in the World Juggling Day than they are in the face contortion contest and have asked if they can just do World Juggling Day.
For some reason.
I know, for some strange reason. And he said, and like before, you know, he'd written me about their changing focus, he was like, and maybe that's what we can do in the future is have an annual World Juggling Day celebration at Ripley's at the different locations and continue to partner on that project. So, We'll see.
Okay. Anything else anyone wanted to comment on? Okay. Membership. Marilyn had provided me with the membership numbers, and I had provided the graph I'd meant to do for 3 months. There's not a whole lot to discuss there, but if anyone had any comments or feedback or anything, feel free. Okay. Financials from Mr. Krause.
Okay. So, as you can see, we had more money out than in this last month, but a huge chunk of that was to the BGFU space, so it was budgeted for. The rest were relatively small-scale payments, a few hundred dollars here and there. The Form 990 was submitted as of yesterday. I received notification from Form 990 that the IRS has accepted the submission. I'm looking into the MMCC wire transfer that got returned to us. I'm hoping to hear from the representative at Bank of America tomorrow about that. And Kim asked me asked where the last three quarters of financial statements were, and I plan on getting those to Dave Landau for posting as soon as I get the okay from Holly that I can use those books to print the financials.
Great. Thank you for taking care of that.
Mm-hmm.
I seem to be having a hard time accessing the financial report. I've been trying all meeting. It says I have to have specific access, request access. Anyone else?
It's shared with the board at juggle.org. So if you're logged in as board.
Okay. Yeah, I'm logged in under my personal one, and I have access to the board through it. So I probably have to log into the board.
Yeah, I don't know how that works because I don't know exactly where all these things should be shared. I shared them the best I can. But right.
Did you put it on the board drive?
Right. Most of the things have been uploaded to the board account, and in your case, I think you uploaded it to your account and shared it to the board, and that's the difference. Now, whenever we upload anything, it inherits protections from the folders, which is why, in general, when we upload things.
Okay, I will change that in the future.
Cool. Yeah, because I think you can just add board meetings to your personal drive, and then you can just put the things directly into that folder.
Did not know that. I'll make that change as soon as we're off the call.
Cool. And, yeah, it's probably a little more solid going forward because it means that they're really this one account holds all our documentation.
Right.
Whereas, like, if 2 years from now you decide you don't really care about your Drive account anymore and you delete it, the IJA will lose documents.
Got it.
Okay. Anything else on the financials?
That's it, unless there's any questions.
I had none. Thank you, sir. Okay, the fund, the FEST report had included a list of what the fund committee is proposing to spend their money on. There's a motion we will get to on that, but we can chat about it here as well. The only comment I was going to have is there was a thing in there about using some of the money to increase prize money, and my memory on that is it's the sort of thing that I thought definitely sounded like it was not in the charter of what Evie wants the money spent on, except I'm pretty sure he has explicitly said that he thinks that's a good thing to spend the money on.
Yes, he said he wanted it, is what I was told.
Right, so I don't understand how that fits the goals he stated, but I'm almost positive he will be happy with that use of it.
Yeah.
And that's
awesome.
That's why we've emailed Evie, because and I've asked Jet Kelly to email him, and I've also done so, asking this question, because in the initial proposal to the board, he was explicit that that was one of the things
to put the
money be used for, and then later on it didn't seem like it, and it's kind of been bounced back and forth, I think, in his own head, and we just want to know what's appropriate.
Yeah,
I
don't know if he's even said anything again.
No, he never has.
When I was
on
the committee, we were confused by it.
Okay.
Matt's first team, I remember kind of like, it was like, what about prize money? And they were like, oh, we decided it didn't fit the idea of everyone having fun.
Right. We said that's a good thing to spend money on, but if you want to spend money to make the festival more fun for everybody, we thought there were a lot better ways to do it than that. But Iwi doesn't seem to agree.
I think that's a great way to bring in better jugglers, bring in more interest into the competition. I think
are
it's
we talking
a
about
way to spend the money.
Yeah. Talking about the championship prize money?
Yeah.
I just want to point out that the deadline for applying to the championships is midnight tonight.
It's tonight.
And if you increase the reward for winning the championship, you've only got about 5.5 hours for people to apply to get that money. It's going to be wasted this year.
Somewhat, and yet it'll make everyone who is competing that much more happy.
I was going to say, we have
happy campers.
Actually,
get better.
Another.
Well, I think you should, if you want to increase the prize money, you should do it in time to advertise it so that people know about it.
Yeah, I would say for the future.
They will compete. The whole point is to get more good jugglers competing. And this is why, the PGA or whatever has big prize money. And if you get more good jugglers competing, more good jugglers will come to the, or jugglers in general will come to the festival.
The fund committee just talked about that at last week's meeting. And, it's one of those things I've brought up once or twice before, but really didn't push. So that's my fault. But I don't see a problem with doing it after. My biggest concern is right now, the way everything is set up, the busker competition first place prize money will be higher than the championships.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right to me at all.
No, and that's why I really pushed it this last meeting and said,
So what?
Well, why not have championships higher, though, too? Why not have both be raised?
How much would the Buster Championship?
The championship money right now is ridiculously low. Pay for a festival.
Total prize money to be split among the top three people is $3,000 this year for Busker.
So the prize structure is completely different than last time?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. They came up with a new higher level.
Where's that money come from?
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, last time everybody got a hunk of the money. If now they're making a point of only dividing it on the top three people,
that seems
like a weird decision to take it in.
I need to clarify that then with Laura.
If we did it that way, Laura would have gotten $0 when she competed. So.
Well, except for what was in her hat.
No, because it was fit. Well, yeah, sure. She might have gotten $20 or $40 or something. But.
All right, I'll clarify that with Laura, because when I hear competition, that's just my personal assumption that it only goes to three people. But I'll clarify that with her, because I haven't seen that anywhere in what she has sent to me.
So
I'm missing where the champion. Where was this brought up in your report? The championship money. It was in the report somewhere.
Yeah, it was.
It was at the tail end of the part about the fund, I think, or maybe it was mentioned after the fund report.
No, it's. I'm getting it online now.
I mean, while you're looking that up, Martin does make a good point if we say, well, it'll be more fun because it'll provide all this incentive for people to perform. If it doesn't provide that incentive at all, then...
It starts spreading the word that we're wanting to move in that direction, so people think maybe in the future we'll have higher prize money. I just think the prize money is so low.
Do it for next year, then. Don't do it for this year.
I think...
But do it early enough, to advertise it. Don't announce it in May. Announce it in September or October.
Right. So I don't have a problem doing it this year, but not for the reason you're saying. The only reason I'm okay with doing it is because I think it'll make Iwi happy.
Yeah.
And we haven't done that so well. So if that's where he would like his money spent, I'm fine doing it for that reason. But, I mean, saying, oh, it'll set the precedent for next year is just as likely to be bad as good, because then if we don't spend money on that next year, then it looks bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm okay with doing it just because I think Iwi will like that and it's his money.
And what the committee looked at doing was a percentage match where it wouldn't be a one-to-one match of the present prize money. So it's not like the prize money is going to be doubled, but let's say, for example, the first place teams will get $1,500 instead of $1,000. So that's what they discussed.
They're saying something like 50% more. 50% extra would be paid by Iwi's fund.
Approximately, yeah. I'm just throwing that out there.
If you're going to do this, I suggest making it a multi-year plan so that, you know, as Dave says, we don't next year cut it back. And hopefully Iwi would be happy to approve this for multi-years so that we can make a reasonably consistent prize money.
And I can bring that up at the next meeting. I think our next meeting's in 2 weeks with the fund committee to finalize this. There are a couple things that they looked at putting in the budget as multi-year plans. The card game that they're proposing, which isn't going to make it for this year because there just isn't time, but they're looking at putting it into the proposal for next year already.
I guess a lot of this is under our control because unless we really butcher something, the fund isn't going anywhere for many years. And if Iwi thinks this is a good thing to spend the money on, he's not very likely to change his mind next year and say, no, you can't spend money on it. It's just a question of kind of, are we prepared to tell every fund committee for a while, you don't really have $20,000 because some amount of it is already kind of pre-allocated. I mean, the other thing about that is if we're going to do it, especially given our rationale, I wouldn't say the prize money for the championship is $1,500 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the prize money for the championship of $1,000 plus the $500 Iwi, our wonderful benefactor, bonus.
Yes.
and spell out in that forum that they are getting extra money from EWE, because we've done a very poor job of recognizing him in the past. So
totally.
If we're doing it largely to honor his wishes, I think that that's something we can spell out.
If we don't want to spend, if we don't want to spend extra on the prize money this year, this might be something we can, so we can talk about with EWE, having him subsidize having the people from the IRC winners come in too. I mean, what Erin said before was that she says that they're probably going to need about $2,400 more. Maybe EWE would be willing to allow some of the fund money to be used to subsidize that. I mean,
well,
not necessarily all of it, but I don't know. If we're talking about using it for using money for the competition in any way.
Mm-hmm.
One of the upset him last year, though, is he felt money was being used to bring in performers.
And yet that was something he had mentioned, too, in his initial thing, is what I've been told.
They said it keeps
bringing up special outside guests that you wouldn't necessarily be able to bring in otherwise and stuff.
I know.
But I mean, I was
right, and this is one of the things where I'm like,
told, so.
This baffles me, but it's his money.
Right.
I think it's very strange if he thinks it will make the festival more fun for everybody to potentially encourage someone else to compete, but it does not make the festival more fun for everybody to definitely put a world-class performer in front of them to watch.
Mm-hmm. And did he actually say it was the performers? I was more under the impression that we were using it because we didn't have for our normal expenditures or whatever, including there was
normal expenditures. Bringing in,
I didn't hear him ever actually say because we brought in EAEO or whatever, but normal.
And that's why the committee, the fund committee, wants it from EWE himself. You know, will it be permittable?
Totally.
I mean, I think, weren't you saying that one of your IRC winners is going to compete this year?
One is competing. He's in the finals. I mean, he's in the prelims.
Right.
If he doesn't make it through to the finals, then he would be performing, is what we mean, kind of talked about.
Right. So, I mean, this is a discussion we could have with EWE, or Jack Kelly could have with EWE, to say, you know, okay, we're coming around to the idea that it may make sense to use some of this money on performers, but at this point, we can't do it this year and encourage anyone to perform because it's too late. So here's what we'd like to do this year. We'd like to take some of that money to help with the IRC people, and that's a good cause. And as a fringe benefit, it will help get one of the performers to the show.
It would be a performer and a competitor.
Not to the show, to the competition.
Yeah, and the other one to come perform. And it would be bringing in, you know, as far as, like, making it be the fun thing, it's bringing in two jugglers that are top in their countries.
That most of us
are representing countries that have never been at the IJ before. So it's bringing in a whole new flavor of juggling that hasn't been there.
Right. So I think this is a good discussion for Jack to have with him.
Okay. But either way, the championship money because I had actually mentioned that to Warren a while back, right when I was starting the IRC process, just because it wasn't finalized, that we had donations for frequent flyer miles, and it freaked me out that we didn't have that.
Yep.
Before, and this is why, because I didn't want to be in this situation. And I said, you know, if it ends up that we can't get frequent flyer miles donated at the last minute, is that something that you'd consider for the fund? And I know he had hesitancies for different reasons, too, on that, but I think a big part of that was because of the perceived notion that EWE didn't want performers flown in, which I don't know that that's really what his whole point was. So I'm not sure. It's hard to know because communication's interesting.
So, aside from this, I think what the fund is proposing looks fine to me. There's things on there that I think sound stupid or I wouldn't do, but I am perfectly willing to concede that maybe I just don't like them. They seem like reasonable things to try.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing here really stands out at me as like a terrible idea or anything I think EWE would hate or anything like that.
Are we going to need extra insurance for any of the things that are on there?
That's a good question.
The only one actually is the bull, the mechanical bull, and we do not pay that insurance. The company itself is insured, so that's nothing to do with us.
Okay, yeah, that was the one that I was thinking of when I mentioned that.
the German wheel and the gauntlet could be dangerous, but the mechanical bull really stands out as...
For sure. There will be someone from the company running the mechanical bull, so it's not like they just come and set it up and let us run it.
Let it rip.
It seems like the German wheel is something that could end up at a festival.
Right.
Anytime. I've seen German wheels at a festival.
Exactly.
If there's
a mechanical bull at a juggling festival and somebody gets hurt, someone's going to want to know how that happened. So.
Good thing it comes with insurance. Wait a second on that one.
Well, and the German wheels, actually, the gentleman who's bringing those in will be contacting you, Dave, about running an introductory workshop or two throughout the week
Good.
That people can learn how to use them properly, and they will always be used under his supervision.
Nice.
That's a great idea. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Because whether or not we get sued, I just don't want anybody ending up in the hospital. So.
Neither do I.
So, all right. Eventually we're going to end up voting on that. Was there any other discussion on the fun stuff? Okay. All right, that gets us to our motions. The first motion came from Kim, and I put it in just about word for word as she proposed it. Motion to approve the creation of a temporary account at Bank of America for the purpose of using Square Register at the festival rather than our programmable register. This would allow the IJA to process Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express credit cards. Upon conclusion of the 2013 festival, all monies in this account are to be transferred to the general fund. Transfers may take place throughout the time of the festival as necessary. Will anyone make that motion?
I will make that motion, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron. Will anyone second that?
I'll second.
Thank you, Kim. We had some discussion on the boards, which is great. I like when we discuss things ahead of time. Anything anyone wants to ask or say or voice at this time?
I'd like to say that it'd be a good idea to do this every year, create a festival account and have it, and, you know, credit and debit the account for the cash that's going to be used. I mean,
I like that general idea as well. As I know, the last time we put together a general budget, we tried to kind of have separate general and festival budgets that each balanced in their own right. So this just sort of helps with my sense of order to have the festival in its own account. But.
Yeah, I like this idea. I think it might be worthwhile to explore another motion later about having one every year.
Yeah. Okay. If no one else has any other questions or comments or concerns, we can go to vote. Does anyone disapprove of the motion as written? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay, the vote passes unanimously. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
Okay. Motion B also came from Kim via Warren or vice versa, I guess. Motion to approve the Fund Committee's budget recommendations for the 2013 festival, which was found in the 2013 Fest Report for this month. Do we have anyone to make that motion?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Kim. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Aaron. Discussion. Like I said, I think it's fine. The only matter of process is that obviously at least a little bit of it is up in the air if we're thinking some of the money potentially goes to, you know, either flying people in or increasing competition prizes. So.
Well, there is. Still money in the fund even after those items that are listed in the Fest report.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that everyone in the committee has voted on and the final vote has been taken. They've all been approved by the committee. But I believe it's about $3,000 or $4,000 there
yet. So maybe we just amend this to make sure it's very clear that we are approving the $17,000 that are explicitly spelled out.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they come up with something that they know they want to spend the other money on, we can address that another time. Does that sound like the safe thing to do?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll feel happier if we amend the motion. So as soon as Kim is ready to start typing, I will suggest an amendment to that motion.
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. Let me pull it up so I can figure out the best way to refer to it. Okay. Let's say a motion to approve the fund committee's recommendation to spend $17,000 on the, I think I counted 14. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. On the 14 line items explicitly specified.
Approved by the committee.
And approved by the committee.
What are the line items Alan Howard, Guinness, and Fort Building Party as tentative approval? What does that mean?
That I believe can now be changed. There were only three voting members at the last meeting where those items were discussed and voted on. So Warren had people email their responses in, but it has gotten the majority vote, both of those items.
Okay.
Got it.
All right. Please specify and approve a committee in the 2013 festival report for May. That works for me. I'm sure we could list out what they all are, but I think it's overkill. I don't think we need to do that, unless anyone disagrees. So. Okay. If people are happy with that, Kim, will you amend the motion? Thank you.
I will amend the motion.
And a second?
That was Aaron.
Aaron, will you second again?
Uh-oh.
Aaron's very unhappy with the amended motion. Aaron, are you still there? I didn't hear anyone drop off.
I heard someone drop off.
Okay, maybe it was her. I think we agreed that the same person needs to make the motion. Does the same person need to second it?
I don't think so.
My guess is that Martin has more experience with parliamentary process than anyone here. Martin, do you know the answer to this one?
Well, I don't really know it. You could always withdraw the motion and make a new motion to the same effect.
That's true. Yeah, we have copy and paste on our side. Was that Aaron rejoining?
Yep, hi.
Yay, Aaron, will you... That'll make things easier.
I'll second the motion to the amendment.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Aaron. Okay, so now we can move on to vote. Does anyone disapprove of the amended motion? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay, thank you. That motion also passes unanimously. All right. Moving. We may eventually get off the phone here tonight. Motion C, the motion to approve the creation of a busking competition trophy in honor of Robert Nelson. Will anyone make that motion?
I will make that motion.
Oh, go ahead.
Aaron. I got Aaron first. Well, who will second that?
I'll second.
Thank you, Kim. Discussion.
I had a question on that. This is Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I don't foresee there being any opposition, but as just a general courtesy, it might be a good idea to check with his estate and just kind of verify that.
Yep, actually, Laura Green knows his wife very, very well, and she's one of them that actually talked to me about this.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked to Laura Ernst as well, and she has been in contact with his wife.
So that's already taken care of then?
Everybody's on board. In fact, we're trying to get his wife to come to the fest.
Oh, beautiful. Aww,
that would be so cool.
I don't know if it's going to happen, but we're trying.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's great.
And, in fact, I don't think in my personal opinion, this really seems like a no-brainer. The motion isn't even asking us to spend any money, right, because that's being donated.
It's being donated.
So it's just a question of do we want our name associated with this, and my answer would unequivocally be yes.
Yes.
Any other discussion? Okay. And we will move to vote. Does anyone disapprove of the motion as written? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay, this motion also passes unanimously. Thank you, people. And on to motion D. Motion to approve the provided plan for becoming a fully paperless organization with a maximum cost outlay of $150 for a final mailing to urge paper-only members to provide an email address. And I've linked to my proposal. That is the provided plan. Do we have a motion for this?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Kim. Discussion. I will start discussion by asking Kim and Martin. The $150 is a number I mostly just pulled out of my caboose, and it's pretty arbitrary, but it seems conservative if we need to mail somewhere around 100 people. And it seemed like we have to be able to mail 100 people for $150, yeah?
Seems like that's $1.50. That's $1.50 each. I mean, yeah, we can do that. If you're talking about a ballot, that sort of thing?
No, I think it was going to be a postcard or a letter saying everything we are doing now will be electronic. All our communications will be electronic. This will include absentee voting. If you want to participate in absentee voting, here's how you do that electronically.
Okay. I don't fully, yes. I mean, certainly it only costs us, 50 cents or less or so, depending on whether we mail, nonprofit organization, which is a little sore. But at any rate, I don't quite understand what the motion is to say. I didn't follow you there.
Okay. Were you able to read the plan and proposal that I put together?
No.
Okay. That's probably why it's not clear. So the motion is just to agree to the plan. So if you weren't able to read that, that's the catch.
Can you give a quick summary? There was a motion made, and I didn't even understand the motion.
Okay. The motion says, motion to approve the provided plan for becoming a fully paperless organization with a maximum cost outlay of $150 for a final mailing to urge paper-only members to provide an email address. So I can summarize the provided plan that the motion refers to, and it lists six steps we take to get to where we no longer mail anybody about anything. The first one
says... You don't need to go through the whole thing. My main question is, you have some proviso for people who don't have email to do stuff. What's the plan for that?
I think the plan is to tell them if you cannot give us an email address, then you are going to miss out on important communications.
Okay.
And you're going to miss out on the ability to absentee vote.
Okay.
And that's what's in the proposal as it's written. So, okay, so I wanted to clarify. I mean, that number seemed to me like it had to be sane, because if nothing else, I could go buy a box of envelopes and go to the post office and buy stamps and print out a bunch of letters for less than that. It seems like the bigger burden is on, Martin and Marilyn's goodwill as we do the process of putting together these 100 letters, because I haven't done that before.
Where did you get the number 100?
I got that from Marilyn. The report also lists the numbers she gave me, and they say we have 129 members for which we have no email address, but we have 22 members for which we don't have a physical address either. So we're kind of hosed with them, and it leaves about 100 people that we could send a letter to say you really need to give us an email address or you're going to start missing out on things. It's 107, I believe.
Okay. And we also probably have 100 people with bad email addresses.
Right. So that is certainly the case, and all I can say about that is, one, if you gave us an email address and it went bad and you didn't fix it, I'd like to help you fix it, but that's after a point, that isn't our problem. But the other thing is the plan also involves changing some of our communications around the time you renew to say, hey, we do all our communications by email, so if your email address isn't up to date or it's not the one you check, you're going to miss stuff, and here's what you do if you need to change it. To kind of more spell out that this is how we're going to contact you, so if you want to get communication from us, you need to participate and make sure we have a good email address.
Okay, and it sounds okay to me.
All right. Is there any other questions, comments, discussion?
Does the IJA maintain phone numbers for everybody as well?
I can almost promise you we don't have them for everybody.
Email. We have most people's phone numbers. We have most people's email addresses. You know,
yeah.
But we don't have one for everybody, especially the longest term members who have never had to give a update may not have had a phone number with us originally and may not have had an email address with us originally. Nobody had an email address with us, until the late 90s.
Yeah.
Totally.
Right. Yeah, I did mention in the plan that for the 22 people that we don't have a mailing address or an email address, if we have phone numbers for them, then I imagine we can split up the work. Worst case, I can call 22 people.
The people we don't have mailing addresses for, we almost certainly don't have valid phone numbers for.
That's my guess. But if there are people where we have a way to reach them, but it's phone and that's all we've got, then we can certainly call them, because the chances are they're also long-time members and lifetime members, and I don't want to leave them out. You know, if there's a way we can reach them, then I'm willing to do what we need to do to try to reach them. But I'm not willing to, hire a private investigator and go try to figure out how to find them. If we just have a way to reach them, then...
Yeah, every roster lists about 20 people that we don't have mailing addresses for. They're mostly lifetime members who, have moved and didn't give us their address. And so we don't, unless they happen to have had a cell phone when they moved in 1990, then we probably don't have a good phone number. But it's worth calling them. But I'm just saying,
yep,
we're probably not going to get any of those people by a phone. We might be able to contact a few of them by asking our members to let us know if they know where these people are. We nominally do that in the roster, but nobody reads the roster anyway. So.
Yep. Yeah, and just as another data point that's in the report, Marilyn noted that of the 129 people that we don't have an email address for, 99 of them are lifetime members. So that, I think that's really largely who we're targeting with this email, because they also aren't going to get renewal emails. So we need to make this one last-ditch mailing to tell them this is kind of it, because I don't want them to just get stranded without realizing what's going on. So, okay, so that was Nathan's question about phone numbers. Anyone else have any questions or comments? Okay. Then we'll move on to vote. Does anyone disapprove of the plan as written? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay. That motion also passes unanimously. Thank you, everybody. One motion to go. I'm sorry, what was that?
I said good work. Thanks for doing all that.
Oh, thank you. One motion to go. And that motion reads, approve Purdue University as the 2014 festival site subject to the amended agreement provided here. Notably, our previous concerns with the payment schedules have been addressed. And there's a link to the new document that Mike provided to us. Will someone make that motion?
I have a motion.
Thank you.
Seth?
Yes, this is Scott.
Yeah. And will someone second that?
I'll second.
Thank you, Aaron. discussion. I mean, mostly what it means is if we vote yes, then I'll give it one last read over, sign it, and return it. As I mentioned earlier, I think the new numbers Mike was able to negotiate sound much more sane.
Also, Dave, we need to ask Scott to send a check for $2,000 to Purdue
right,
as well.
Right, right.
Signed agreement.
Yeah. Yep.
Sure. Dave, when you send that in internet, send me an authorization, and I'll send a check.
Yep, will do.
So what are the deposit amounts required?
Let me pull that up.
Martin, it's $2,000 with the contract, $4,500 at the end of August, and $6,500 in January. I'm sorry, it's $4,500 at the beginning of August, so right after our fest.
So $13,000 total.
Total, down from $31,000.
Okay, and $13,000, does that fit within what we expect our charges to be?
It's about a third of what our charges will likely be.
A third?
Seriously?
That doesn't sound quite right. I think we figured out before our costs were going to be about $30,000. So.
Yeah, so about a half, less than half.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else, or should we move to vote? Okay. Does anyone disapprove of the motion as written? Anyone want to abstain? Okay. That motion passes as written. Congrats, everybody. We will be going to Purdue. And thank you, Mike, for working with them to talk us back down to earth and make that something.
My pleasure. I
approve of.
I can't wait for all of you to get to Purdue. It is going to be a great site. It's a world-class institution, and I think we'll have a great fest there.
Okay. We didn't have anything listed in Varia, and we've already run very long tonight, so unless anybody has anything they desperately want to talk about right now, I will suggest we take any extra discussion to the...
I had one thing. When's the due date for board member?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. I don't know that we...
Yeah, I think David Landon pointed that out. It's like tomorrow or something.
What?
It's today.
Today. Wait. And have we had anyone apply?
No.
So I take it the three board members who are not running for re-election, and I don't know if you... I mean, changing the deadline at this point isn't going to make people not see themselves.
Who's been publicizing it? I barely knew about it. So I haven't, I mean, I hadn't publicized it. I missed last month's meeting, so I don't know. But I don't think anything was posted in E-Juggle, was it? Or?
It may have been mentioned at some point, but I certainly share the concern that it may not help any, but obviously it isn't going to make things worse since we have no one at the
point. Yeah, because I know Tom had said if nobody was going to run, he was going to be up for re-election, or he would, you know, step in. And I don't think he knows the deadlines today by any means.
So I think we almost have to move the deadline out.
Seems imperative, and it seems like we need to do some publicity on it.
Right.
Dave, are you planning to run?
I am not planning to run.
Okay. And the other people who are up for re-election this year are Kim, who I think has said she's not planning to run. Is that right, Kim?
That is correct.
Right.
And Tom Wall.
Yes.
Aaron, you said he would if wasn't anybody
else. Running.
But,
yeah. But he does. It would prefer not to, I believe. But.
But he's not on this call, right?
Right.
Correct.
Okay.
And I know some other people who said they were. I only know one other person who said he was considering running. If he wasn't going to be the festival director for the upcoming year. But he needed to know where the site was before he'd even consider being festival director.
Right. I mean, my thinking is we almost have to move the date out, and once we do that,
voting.
We can publicize this better via the normal means, but I think we all know at least a few people that we think would be good at it or we hope would do it, and I think publicity also needs to mean reaching out to those people.
Totally.
To make sure they know, and they know the deadline.
That's how I got sucked into all this. Somebody recruited me. Definitely.
So this sounds like the kind of thing maybe we actually need a motion on, but I also don't think it's going to take a whole lot of time to do it. Should we back up and make a motion to move the deadline out?
Yes.
Yeah, I think we need to do that. So as much as I would like to eat my dinner, let's do that. Okay. Oh, look at you. We've already got the motion. Motion to extend the... Yeah.
When are we thinking? A month?
Yeah. I make a June 15th. This sounds good to me.
June 15th is World Juggling Day. It would be nice to have it just be a different day than that if we could do June 17th or something that Monday.
That works.
Sure.
Okay.
June 17th. Motion to extend board member nomination deadline to June 17, 2013. That works for me. Okay. Do we have someone to make that motion?
I'll make it.
Thank you, Kim. Do we have someone to second it?
Second it, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron. Is there any more discussion we'd like to have on this before we vote on it?
Just a little brief comment. Right now we have two deadlines. One is the nomination. I'm reading this right off the website.
Right.
Nomination submission deadline for candidate's name to appear on the ballot. That's May 15th. The other one's also May 15th. That's the candidacy statement submission deadline for statement to appear in a mailer with the ballot. I don't know if we're having a mailer. In the IJE newsletter, May issue, of course, if the deadline's June, it will be the June issue, I suppose, on this website and in the e-zine. So that statement deadline is also the same as the nomination deadline.
Yeah, thank you for noting that. So we should amend this to actually, I mean, we're kind of crafting it. I guess we amended our motion, so we have to amend it. We should amend this to move all the deadlines out. So motion to extend the deadlines for board member nomination and...
Candidacy statement submission.
Perfect. Thank you.
Gosh. What happens if nobody wants to run? Just asking.
You got a smaller board.
You have a smaller board? Okay.
Well, you probably still have an election, and people will probably get write-ins, right?
Right.
Yes.
Which is kind of chilling.
Albert, you may have Mickey Mouse elected.
Goodness.
The board, by virtue of the bylaws, is able to change the size of the board each year, and that's something that the board has really never considered in, I won't say never, because it hasn't considered in several years.
Right.
But, you know, you could change the size to 5 if you thought you couldn't get more people nominated. And I suppose you could do that at any time, as long as it doesn't look like electioneering.
Got it.
Right. We could probably look at that in June and see
if nobody submits.
Applying.
But we're going to think positively, and all kinds of people want to be on the board of directors.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Kim, for amending the motion, for typing the amended motion. Kim, will you make that motion?
Yes.
Thank you. Aaron, will you second that motion?
Second.
Thank you. Thank you for that catch. Martin, is there any other discussion? If not, let's vote. Does anyone disapprove of the amended motion? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay, that vote passes unanimously. Thank you. Everyone, please reach out to anyone you know that you think would be a good candidate to do this job. I'm due to put out another eJuggle article, and I will mention it in there as well.
And I'll do Facebook publicity on it.
Excellent.
And somebody
should
put it in the newsletter as well.
Yes.
And I'll ask Dave to change the website.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Who wants to do newsletter article? Can somebody claim that one?
I'll take that. I will talk to Don about it.
Okay.
Thank you all for hanging in there.
Martin, can I talk to you for a second after everyone's
going?
Sure. Just for a quick second. Okay, thanks.
Okay, let's look at the calendar for June. and figure out when to do this. So that's going to be interesting. So on Wednesday the 12th, I fly to Europe.
Nice.
And I fly back on Wednesday the 26th.
Oh, funny.
So if we're going to do it in the month of June on a Wednesday, either we do it on the 5th or you guys will have to do it without me. Or we could do it on a different day of the week. Like if we do it on the 27th, which is a Thursday, I can do that. I don't know which of these things people think is worse, doing it late and on a Thursday, doing it early, or doing it without me.
I could do it on the 5th.
Early. What's that?
I'd say do it on the 5th. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I think 5th is better. We've got a lot coming up in mid-June that we should probably all be ready for, so.
Yep, okay. Well, then, unless anybody.
Just so everyone's kind of prepared, if there's something I need board approval on for the fest, like later in the month of June, I don't think there will be, but if we can straw poll, agree to do that.
Yep.
Okay.
I've done it before, so.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's say June 5th for the meeting. Yeah, this is probably the first two-week vacation I've taken in my life, so it didn't really occur to me. All right. So in that case, we need someone to move to adjourn the meeting. Will someone make that motion?
I will.
Thank you, Kim. Any discussion? Okay, voting. Does anyone object to adjourning the meeting? Does anyone want to abstain? Okay, the vote is unanimous. The meeting adjourns at 7:25 Pacific time. Thank you very much, everybody.
Woo, yeah, that was a doozy.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I don't even know how that happened exactly, but cool. Thanks, everybody.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, cool. Martin, hi.
Hi.
So I just wanted to ask if it would be you I'd talk to. I'm trying to get, or I have somebody who's willing to do a Spanish translation for the registration form for membership registration or membership joining. And I was thinking, especially for the World Juggling Day at one, it would be cool to have it in Spanish as well. Would that be something that's possible?
The online form?
Yeah, mainly because if I'm trying to get people from South America to join and they can't understand the form, it's a little counterproductive. So would there be,
yeah,
I mean, mainly it would be a slash and you put nombre instead of, you know, next to name or whatever.
Yeah. The store has a Spanish, you know, version.
Oh, it does.
But
for
most
Juggling.
Things, well, I mean, yeah, so we have Spanish. It's just that most of the, in fact, if you go, oh, yeah, okay. If you go to juggle.org/store right now, do you have a computer?
Yep, I'm typing it in right now, juggle.org/store.
And click on memberships, membership in the under categories on the left.
Yep.
And now on the right, the far right, you'll see three flags.
All right, Spanish. Okay.
Click on the far right one.
Got it. Nice.
Now,
that's excellent.
Right. Well, it's partially excellent. You see titles here in Spanish, and you see subtitles in English.
Right. Sure enough.
So the facility to put Spanish is there. I just need the Spanish.
Okay.
And I don't even know if any of those. Like one of those, I look at the second one, you know, the second sentence is in Spanish. But at any rate, whoever's going to translate should just take the main English ones. And translate them to Spanish, send them to me. Hopefully, you know, and I understand a little bit of Spanish, so I can probably figure out what they're talking about. And I'll put them into the Spanish section. Right now, when I don't have a translation, I just duplicate the English.
Oh, got it. Okay. Yeah, because I see the yo puede agregar. Yeah, like once I clicked on the membership, a couple of the lines are in Spanish, but most of it's in English. So, yeah,
right.
If we get a Spanish version, then you can just... Then I can just tell them to click on the language translation.
Yeah, and there may be, maybe we can even get a figure out what URL you have, if you can, maybe we can have a Spanish URL.
URL, that would be wonderful. That would be awesome. Especially for World Juggling Day weekend, because I know you're going to have your other special URL that weekend. So if we can make, like, special URL / Espanol or something.
The only question is, I don't know if, if you go to, now that you've selected Spanish, if you go to juggle.org/new, you'll see the same things that are going to be available for World Juggling Day, and you'll see them in Spanish. You'll see the page in Spanish. The items are in English because that's
in English.
Had to create. The dates are in Spanish on the right.
Dates are in Spanish. Yeah, they sure are. Awesome.
Anyway,
I can send him this link if that's okay, even though I know it's not active yet, but just so he can see what it looks like in Spanish or tell him to click on it in Spanish. Because then if you click on it, it says, oh, disculpe, no se encontró el producto. Got it.
Yeah, I don't think that I don't think I can include the language in the URL, so I think they're going to have to click on that flag.
Okay.
But, you know, if they're looking around, and especially, you know, if they're used to looking at, if you just tell them, you know, if you say somewhere that all they have to do is click on the Spanish flag, I didn't know what flag that is.
I have no idea what flag that is. And that's the thing, is nobody's going to know necessarily. Is that Spain? I would guess that might be Spain.
It could be. But if you hover over it, it says Espanol.
It does. It's just not really apparent when people get there. Because I've had a lot of people write me being like, I'm so confused about these forms. They're all in English, so they obviously didn't find that. And the forms don't actually translate altogether.
I imagine that people who don't speak English are more used to looking for multi-language clues like that.
Right, totally. And I know, like, the EJC has it. Usually it's at the top of the page or before you even enter the page, it'll say, do you want it in English or Spanish? So maybe I wonder if we could just make that box even a little, like, bigger or more prevalent or anything, David, maybe?
Here's what I can do. You see where it says discounted membership?
Where it says what?
Discounted membership at the title of the page.
Right, yeah.
I can follow that by saying in English and maybe even in Spanish, if somebody will translate it for me, click on the flag at right for Spanish. Click on the Espanol flag.
Yeah.
You know, something to point them toward that flag.
Right. Yeah, something that directs their eyes to it. That would be great. Yeah, click Spanish flag to right for...
If I say it in English and they don't speak English, they won't see it. So I should probably say it.
If you type that out and want to add it to the page, like, in the next couple of days and just send me or let me know when it's on there, then I can just send this whole page to Alfredo and he can translate the whole thing. Now, the things, once you click on the discounted youth membership, the stuff that will actually be in that, is that going to be the same as what's on the regular membership?
Pretty much. Pretty much. It does say, you know, you have to do this by June 16th. It mentions the deadline.
Okay.
Other than that, and it says you have to be a new member.
Okay. Maybe you could just send me the verbiage for that, too.
Yeah, I can just send you the whole text of those.
Yeah, that would be perfect, the text, and I'll just send that to Alfredo, and he can just translate it, and I'll send it back to you.
Yeah, I'll send you a bunch of paragraphs from those that are, you know, they appear in multiple versions. So I just want the translation for each paragraph separate, and then I can mix and match and put create the Spanish versions.
Yeah, totally. That makes sense. And then if we could add that to the regular membership, too, for the long term, that would be great. Or just update that so it's easier for folks.
I can add the Spanish to the regular ones. I can add the Spanish to the regular ones now. I mean, you know, whenever I get it.
Right. Once it's translated. So, okay. Cool. Yeah,
I'll look over the regular ones as well, see if there's any other paragraphs that don't appear in these special ones. And I'll send you whatever we've got.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. And then I can, anything that is in Spanish, I can have him, if he just translates all of it, then we can just copy and paste it rather than, because I just saw some misspellings in the Spanish that is there. Like instead of yo puede, it says you puede. Little things like that. So, yeah, but if we just...
It says you.
Like, it says you instead of yo. Like there's
Y-O-U.
Yeah, Y-O-U. Instead
where
of
is it?
It's on the just the regular membership Spanish adult section. memberships, and then I clicked on the adult one and clicked on the Spanish.
Yeah.
But if he just translates all of it, we could just move it over.
Feel free to have, you know, I'll send you the part that's hidden that you can't get to now, but the you know, feel free to grab other stuff from the main membership pages, but I'll try to give you a collection that covers everything.
Okay. That sounds great. Well, thank you so much. That's awesome. That's
okay.
Helpful. Okay. Well, have a great night.
Okay, take care.
Talk to you soon. Okay, bye-bye.